Yes, Minton.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Hanok. Okay. Hi, Esther.
Good morning, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hanok, my internet's been down all morning, and I just like 3 minutes ago finally got back on it. I just got to Constant Contact, so I'll have it all done this afternoon as soon as I finally got on the internet. I had to switch to my hotspot on my phone, and then I was able to get through.
I understood. Not to worry about it.
Okay, I just wanted to let you know.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoah. Anabakoah Gedulah Shemincha Tatim Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu No Ra Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Na Gibor Dor Shehudcha Kevava Shalem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Bar Hem Tacharem Rachame Sitkatcha Tamid Gam Bet Tetresh Tzadi Taf Gimel Chasin Kadosh Birov Tucha Nael Adata Het Kufbet Tet Nunayan Yachid Geye Lamcha Pene Zokre Kiddushata Yud Gimelamed He Zion Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma tziakatenu yodea talumot shin kufav tzadi yud taf. The letters of the month of Kislev, the gimel that created the planet Tzedek, the planet of righteousness, the planet Jupiter, and the samach that created the constellation Keshet, the rainbow or the bow, or some say it's the archer. It's the astrological sign of Sagittarius. Together, the Samach and the Gimel have a gematria of 63, which connects us to the energy store known as the Sephirah of Bina. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. Now we're going to separate between the holy and the mundane, between the positive and the negative aspects of that creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apayim, V'rav Chesed V'emet, Notzer chesed la'alafim, Noseh avon v'afesha, V'chata'av v'nakei. We're now going to read from the verses that we read that connect us to the energy of the year, the current year of 5777, the year of the goat, and previous years. We're going to start with the L'shem Yichud. Then we will read the first of the two verses that connect us to the year of the goat, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. L'shem Yichud kudsha barichu ishkinte bitchilu urchimud hilud hilu urchimu liyahokta l'shem yud hei bevav hei Yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael Limud Torah mitzvah Lasok Torah mitzvah Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu konenei aleinu maaseh yadeinu konenehu Sod saduni katzipor oyevai chinam. When we take the first letter of these five Hebrew words, we're able to create three new Hebrew words, Tzatz, Ki, Ach. The translation of these words is appear like brothers. When we take the five final letters of the verse, we're able to permutate it into two Hebrew words, Dir, Yam, which is translated as a sea of tenants. These five newly created words connect us clearly through their translation and through their meaning of the Hebrew words. They're connecting us to the energy of the year 5777, the year of the goat. Another verse that connects us to that year's energy is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Kim ba Adonai Yohei Wahei Elohechem tadabaku kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. When we look at the year 5776, the year of the pause, there are two Hebrew words, two Hebrew verses that connect to that energy. The first of which is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34.
Raka kohanim ayu limat. Willo yachlu lehashi et kol haolot vayehaskum achechem halevim ad kelot hamlacha yad yitkad shu hakohanim ki halivim yishrei levav lehit kadesh me hakohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of each word, we're able to permute it into 8 names of God. Adonai Yohei Wahei La La He Wa 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 Yo La Yo Ala Me Hey 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 Aka Are Kacha. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4 is the second of the verses that connect us to the year 5776, the year of the pause. Bidhu ba Adonai Yohewae Adead Ki biya Yohe Adonai Yohewae Tzur Olamim. There are 3 verses that connect to the year 5775. First of these is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. The second that connects us to this year's energy of 5775, which is the energy of swallowing death forever, is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol ha-machavoiya asher yidchabe sham v'shavtem elai el nachon v'chalachti yidchem v'chayayim yeshno v'aretz v'chipasti oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. The third verse is Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved roav yomru ayo. The year 5774, the year of peace in the Middle East, there is only one verse. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom leami leYisrael umtati v'shakan tachtav v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla l'anoto ka'asher barishona. We're now going to read a verse from the Zohar that connects us to the energy of certainty. It is from Parashat Yitro, Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar, Bekama Atar, Tane Nan, Tekud Shabarihu, Koma Diaved Leila, Witata Kola Ihu Kishot, Viovada Dikshot. Veleid lach mila bialma divai e barnash. Vedach ya leya mineya ulan haga. Veya kilana dehakuhu ovada. Dikshotinun wikola itsterich bialma. We're now going to scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim.
the Tzaddikim who left this day, the 10th day of Kislev, Rabbi Tzvi Aryeh ben Zion ben Rabbi Yisrael Abba Rosenfeld, Rabbi Yehoshua Katz, Rabbi Yaakov Yitzhak Halevi of Pressburg, Rabbi Simcha Ashkenazi of Dessau, Rabbi Yechiel Heller, and Rabbi Yitzhak Friedman. And before we say the eighth verse, we're going to say the three Hebrew words that connect us to the DNA, the spiritual DNA of creation, which will allow us ultimately to remove chaos from our lives by changing that spiritual DNA. Nikudim, Akudim, Berudim. And now we'll say the eighth verse of the Ana Bekoa in a whisper. Today's class is beginning our study of Hanukkah. You can find the handout on the right side of the any of the Yeshem web pages. On the right side, under the two pictures, there's a link to unique astrological events. When you open that link up, scroll down to where it says Hanukkah, the holiday of Hanukkah. And there's a whole series of links. And we are starting our study today with the first link titled Kabbalah, or Hanukkah in Kabbalah. In this year of 5776, and also this year of 5777, in the month of December, which is Kislev, there are two holidays celebrated in both the Western secular world and the Jewish world. And this year, Hanukkah actually starts on the same day, the night before that day, in the Western world's holiday. Many people in the Jewish world follow the familiar statements of the Western secular world. May there be peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Then many people put their new bought presents under their Christmas tree or the Hanukkah bush. This is due to the advertising and the commercial aspects of the society in which we live. We are going to show that the two holidays are very different than each other. Hanukkah is not a holiday that discusses goodwill towards men or peace on earth. Let us learn. We will be teaching a number of classes on this holiday, including a meditation, a Yehud called Yehudim Ner, and also the Kabbalistic meditations of the Arizal, as explained by the great Kabbalist Rabbi Shalom Sharabi. And these will be found below, or in the other links on the same location that got this link. Hanukkah is a holiday in the Hebrew calendar. It is spelled Chet Nun Kaf He. In the north area of Tiberias, Hanukkah is usually spelled Chet Nun Vav Kaf He. This is very usual in Hebrew, where the letter Labav can be produced with a vowel of dots, or a vowel using the letter Vav. Hanukkah is pronounced Chanukah in modern Hebrew. A transliteration, also romanized as Hanukkah, or with a H, with an H, or Hanukkah, a CH, or Hanukkah, a CH, and in the middle two Ks, or Hanukkah without an H at the end. All of these spellings are recognized. This holiday is also known as the Festival of Lights and a Feast of Dedication. It consists of an eight-day holiday commemorating the rededication of the Holy Temple, the second temple in Jerusalem, at the time of the Maccabean revolt against the Greeks, or the second century before the Common Era. Hanukkah is observed for 8 nights and days, starting on the 25th day of Kislev. According to the Hebrew calendar, which may occur at any time, from late November to late December in the Gregorian calendar. The festival is observed by the kindling of the lights of a unique candelabra, the nine-branched menorah, or the Hanukkiah, one additional light on each night of the holiday, progressing to eight on the final night. The typical menorah consists of eight branches with an additional raised branch. The extra light is called a shamash, an attendant, and is given a distinct location, usually above or below the rest. The purpose of the shamash is to have a light available for practical use, as using the Hanukkah lights themselves for purposes other than publicizing and meditating on Hanukkah is forbidden. My commentary. The main point of the holiday, according to the halakha mentioned above, is to publicize the miracle. What is the miracle? How does one publicize the miracle? In this age of electricity, why would I use the light of the Hanukkiah to have normal everyday benefits? These are just some of the questions that we will answer as we go through the education about Hanukkah. We're now going to read from the Wikipedia's articles, starting with the etymology. The name Hanukkah derives from the Hebrew verb chet nun taf sofi, which means to dedicate. On Hanukkah, the Jews regained control of Jerusalem and rededicated the temple. Many homiletical explanations have been given for the name. The name can be broken down into Chanu Kaf He, which translates as they rested on the 25th, referring to the fact that the Jews ceased fighting on the 25th day of Kislev, the day on which the holiday begins. And I am asking, why is the holiday 8 days when they stopped on the particular day of the 25th of Kislev? And why not start the holiday on the 17th and end it on the 25th? Remember, this is not a holiday mentioned in the Torah. It is a rabbinical holiday. Chanukah, including the Vav, is also the Hebrew acronym for eight candles. And the halakha is like the house of Hillel. Chetne wrote the halakha kebayet Hillel. This is a reference to the disagreement between two rabbinical schools of thought, the house of Hillel and the house of Shammai. on the proper order in which to light the Hanukkah flames. Shammai has the opinion that 8 candles should be lit on the first night, 7 on the second night, and so on down to 1 on the last night, because the miracle was greatest on the first day. Hillel argued in favor of starting with 1 candle and lighting an additional one every night, up to 8 on the 8th night, because the miracle grew in greatness each day. Jewish law adopted the position of Hillel. My commentary. These different schools of thought, which are clearly difficult to reconcile, are reconciled with the idea that the halakha will change after Mashiach comes, since the world will be based on judgment rather than mercy when Mashiach comes. Actually, these halakhot are dealing with the way the spiritual physical systems work with each other. Right now, the light comes into the universe, into the vessel, in the following order during the holiday of Hanukkah. On the first day, the light of Malchut comes into the vessel of Bina. On the second day, the light of Yesod comes into the vessel of Bina, while the light of Malchut flows down to the vessel of Chesed. On day 3, the light of Hod comes into the vessel of Bina, while the light of Yesod flows down to Chesed, while the light of Malchut flows down to the vessel of Gevurah. Day 4, the light of Netzach comes into the vessel of Bina, while the light of Hod flows down to the vessel of Chesed, while the light of Yesod flows down to the vessel of Gevurah, while the light of Malchut flows down to the vessel of Tiferet. This continues day by day until on day 8, which is called Zot Hanukkah. The translation is, this is Hanukkah. You mean the first 7 days isn't Hanukkah? All of the lights have flowed into the appropriate vessels. Thus on day 8, the light of Bina flows into the vessel of Bina, while the light of Chesed flows into the vessel of Chesed, and etc. as it applies, including the light of Malchut flows into the vessel of Malchut. This process of step by step, the proper light searches for the proper vessel, is due to the idea of the line. After Mashiach, there will be no more step by step. In the metaphor of the circle, the light of Bina finds the vessel of Bina immediately. This is the idea that there is no room or space to create a mistake. Things just work properly. Everyone is a righteous tzaddik and doing the right thing at the right time in the right place. Don't you think this will be boring? No, there will be no boring, because boring is a lack. And if the proper light flows into the proper vessel, there is no lack. This is the true meaning of Mashiach. Now we're going to read a midrash that many of you have heard about Chana and her 7 sons. 7 times no, 1,000 times no. According to the Gemara in the volume of Gittin, the king asked each son to bow down to an idol. Each son, starting from the oldest to eventually the youngest, refused, each quoting a different passage from the Torah. The first son quoted the first mitzvah. How can I bow down, he asked, when it says in the Torah, I am the Lord your God? The second son stated the mitzvah, you shall have no other gods beside me. Said the third, how can I, whoever sacrifices to a foreign god will be wiped out of the Jewish people. Quoted the fourth son, you shall not bow down to other gods. The fifth son quoted the Shema, hear Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The sixth son explained, you shall teach today your heart that Hashem is the only God in the heavens and earth, and there is no other. Finally, the merciless king turned to the seventh and youngest son, who quoted the longest passage. We have sworn to Hashem not to change him or any other god, and God has sworn to us not to exchange us for any other people. The king was taken aback. This boy was the youngest, yet the most clever, and also willing to give his life. Nonetheless, the king tried to deceive him. I'll throw my ring down, he said, and so people won't ridicule me it will look like you're bowing down. But really, you'll only be picking up the ring. No luck, Antiochus, the Greek king. The brave lad said, if your honor as a human being of flesh and blood is so important, then how much more so is the honor of the holy king Hashem? There is a lot to learn from this Mishnah, from this Midrash. Here are some historical sources. There are, in the Mishnah, in the Talmud, there are sections omitted in most printings. Today they tend to be always included, but over the centuries, due to concerns about aggravating the Christian world, they were omitted. The story of Hanukkah, along with its laws and customs, is entirely missing in the Mishnah, apart from several passing references. Rav Nissim Geon postulates in his Hakdama L'Machteach HaTalmud that information on the holiday was so commonplace that the Mishnah felt no need to explain it. A modern-day scholar, Reuven Margolis, suggests that as the Mishnah was redacted after the Bar Kokhba revolt, its editors were reluctant to include explicit discussion of a holiday celebrating another relatively recent revolt against a foreign ruler, for fear of antagonizing the Romans. There was a Hanukkah lamp unearthed near Jerusalem around 1900. The story of Hanukkah is preserved in the books of the first and second Maccabees. These books are not part of the Tanakh. They are Jewish apocryphal books. They're similar to the Dead Sea Scrolls. The miracle of the one-day supply of oil, miraculously lasting 8 days, is first described in the Talmud, written about 600 years after the events that are described in the Book of Maccabees. And I am adding that this implies that the oil did not last 8 days, but this technique was used to promote the miracle of a small group overcoming a large group, the Maccabees defeating the Greek army. The Gemara in the Talmud in Tractate Shabbat, page 21b, focuses on Shabbat candles and moves to Hanukkah candles and says that after the forces of Antiochus IV had been driven from the temple, The Maccabees discovered that almost all of the ritual olive oil had been profaned. They found only a single container that was still sealed by the high priest, with enough oil to keep the menorah in the temple lit for a single day. They used this, yet it burned for 8 days, which is the time it takes to have new oil pressed and made ready. The Talmud explains this with three options. The law requires only one light each night per household. A better practice is to light one light each night for each member of the household. The most preferred practice is to vary the number of lights each night. And I am explaining that this is so people will act. Why is the difference in the number of lights from one night to the next? And this gives us an opportunity to publicize the miracle. In Sephardic families, the head of the household lights the candles, while in Ashkenazi families, all family members light. Except in times of danger. The lights were to be placed outside one's door on the opposite side of the mezuzah or in the window closest to the street. Rashi, in a note to this Talmud page, says their purpose is to publicize the miracle. The blessings for Hanukkah lights are discussed in the Tractate of Sukkah. And I will just mention, on the first night of Hanukkah, there are three blessings said. The other seven nights, there are two blessings said. The first blessing said, seems similar to this blessing said over the lighting Shabbat candles, but there's a missing word. We do not say shell Hanukkah. We leave off the word shell and just to light the ner Hanukkah, the candles of Hanukkah, not ner shell Hanukkah. And the reason for that change has to do with a sequence of letters. The first letters of those words, the last three words, Lamed Nun Chet, is a sequence that is a healing sequence. Continuing to read. Except in times of danger, the lights were to be placed outside one's door, on the opposite side of the mezuzah, or in the window closest to the street. Rashi tells us it's to publicize the miracle. The blessings for the Hanukkah lights are discussed in Tractate Sukkah. And I am adding, some rabbis promote making a public spectacle for the purpose of publicizing the miracle. In areas where there is not a lot of foot traffic, it may seem that lighting outside makes no sense. Yet we must realize that Hashem controls who walks along the street and who is motivated to ask questions. Now, the main process in modern days is not to light in the middle of the street, except in certain public demonstrations where the police have been contacted and closed off the street. It is, in my opinion, it's interesting to note this historical event. When the Jews were feeling safe, they would light it in the middle of the thoroughfare. But whenever there was danger, their rabbis would tell them to light it in their windows and in their houses. And I am saying, as a teacher, in the times that we have entered since the election in November, it is better to light in the windows and in your doorway this year, not in the street. The narrative of Josephus. The ancient Jewish historian Flavius Josephus narrates in his book, Jewish Antiquities 12, how the victorious Judah Maccabee ordered lavish yearly 8-day festivities after rededicating the temple in Jerusalem that had been profaned by Antiochus IV, whose name was Epiphanes. Josephus does not say the festival was called Hanukkah, but rather the Festival of Lights. Now, Judah celebrated the festival of the restoration of the sacrifice of the temple for 8 days and omitted no sort of pleasures thereon. But he feasted them upon every rich and splendid sacrifice, and he honored God and delighted them by hymns and psalms. Nay, they were so very glad at the revival of their customs, when after a long time of intermission, they unexpectedly had regained the freedom of their worship, that they made it a law for their posterity, that they should keep a festival on account of the restoration of their temple worship for 8 days. And from that time to this, we celebrate this festival and call it Lights. I suppose the reason was because this liberty beyond our hopes appeared to us, and that thence was the name given to that festival. Judas also rebuilt the walls around about the city. Not Judas, but Judah Maccabee. And reared towers of great height against the incursion of enemies, and set guards therein. He also fortified the city Bethsura, that it might serve as a citadel against any distresses that might come from our enemies. There are other ancient sources. Another story of Hanukkah is alluded to in the book of Maccabees 1 and 2. The 8-day rededication of the temple is described in the first Maccabee, though the name of the festival and the miracle of the lights do not appear there. A story similar in character and obviously older in date is the one alluded to in the second Maccabee, according to which the relighting of the altar fire by Nehemiah was due to a miracle which occurred on the 25th of Kislev, and which appears to be given as the reason for the selection of the same date for the rededication of the altar by Judah Maccabee. Another source is the Megillat Antiochus. This work, also known as Megillat HaHasmonim, or Megillat Hanukkah, or Megillat Yevanit, is in both Aramaic and Hebrew. The Hebrew version is a literal translation from the original Aramaic original. Recent scholarship dates it to somewhere between the 2nd and 5th centuries, probably in the 2nd century, with the Hebrew dating to the 7th century. It was published for the first time in Mantua, Italy, in 1557. Saadia Gaon, who translated it into Arabic in the 9th century, ascribed it to the Maccabees themselves. Disputed by some since it gives dates as so many years before the destruction of the Second Temple in 70 of the Common Era. The Hebrew text with an English translation can be found in the Siddur of Philip Birnbaum. The Christian Greek scriptures refer to the man from Nazareth being at the Jerusalem temple during the Feast of Dedication, and it was winter. The Greek term used is the renewals. Josephus refers to the festival as lights. The story of Hanukkah. Judea was part of the Ptolemaic kingdom of Egypt, which is really after Alexander the Great died. His kingdom, which stretched from the Mediterranean all the way into India, his kingdom was divided into four kingdoms. And the Ptolemaic kingdom was in Egypt. But in the year 200 of the before the Common Era, Antiochus, the king number three, the king of the great of Syria, defeated Ptolemy of Egypt. Judea became at that moment part of the Seleucid Empire of Syria. And there was a change of government and a change of values. King Antiochus the Great, wanting to conciliate his new Jewish subjects, guaranteed their right to live according to their ancestral customs and to continue to practice their religion in the Temple of Jerusalem. However, in 175, before the Common Era, Antiochus IV, the son of Antiochus III, invaded Judea ostensibly at the request of the sons of Tobias. The Tobiads, who led the Hellenizing Jewish faction in Jerusalem, were expelled to Syria around 170 when the high priest Onias and his pro-Egyptian faction wrested control from them. The exiled Tobiads lobbied Antiochus IV to recapture Jerusalem. As the ancient Jewish historian Flavius Josephus tells us, the king, being hereto disposed beforehand, complied with them and came upon the Jews with a great army and took their city by force and slew a great multitude of those who favored Ptolemy, and sent out his soldiers to plunder them without mercy. He also spoiled the temple and put a stop to the constant practice of offering a daily sacrifice of expiation for 3 years and 6 months. The traditional view: when the second temple in Jerusalem was looted and services stopped, Judaism was outlawed. In 167 BCE, Antiochus ordered an altar to Zeus erected in the temple. He banned Brit Milah, circumcision, and ordered pigs to be sacrificed at the altar of the temple. The sacrifice of pigs to the Greek gods was standard ritual practice at that time. Antiochus' action provoked a large-scale revolt. Mattiyahu, a Jewish priest, Kohen, and his five sons, all Kohanim, Yochanan, Simeon, Eliezer, Jonathan, and Judah, led a rebellion against Antiochus. Judah became known as Yehuda HaMakabi, Judah the Hammer. By 166 BCE, Mattathias had died, and Judah took his place as the leader. By 165 BCE, The Jewish revolt against the Seleucid monarchy was successful. The temple was liberated and rededicated. The festivals of Hanukkah was instituted to celebrate this event. Yuda ordered the temple to be cleansed, a new altar to be built in place of the polluted one, and new holy vessels to be made. According to the Talmud, unadulterated and undefiled pure olive oil with the seal of the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, was needed for the menorah in the temple, which was required to burn throughout the night every night. Story goes that one flask was found with only enough oil to burn for one day, yet it burned for 8 days, the time needed to prepare a fresh supply of kosher oil for the menorah. An 8-day festival was declared by the Jewish sages to commemorate this miracle. The version of the story in the First Maccabees states that an 8-day celebration of songs and sacrifices was proclaimed upon rededication of the altar and makes no mention of the miracle of the oil. A number of historians believe that the reason for the 8-day celebration was that the first Hanukkah was a belated celebration of Sukkot and Shmini Atzeret. During the war, the Jews were not able to celebrate these festivals when lamps were supposed to be lit in the temple. Modern scholarship. Some modern scholars argue that the king was intervening in an internal civil war between the traditionalists, the Pharisees, and the Hellenized Jews, the Sadducees, in Jerusalem. These competed violently over who would be the high priest, with traditionalists with Hebrew Aramaic names like Onias, and contesting with Hellenizing high priests with Greek names like Jason and Menelaus. In particular, Jason's Hellenistic reforms would prove to be a decisive factor leading to eventual conflict within the ranks of Judaism. Other authors point to possible socioeconomic reasons, in addition to the religious reasons behind the civil war. What began in many respects as a civil war escalated when the Hellenistic kingdom of Syria sided with the Hellenizing Jews in their conflict with the traditionalists. As the conflict escalated, Antiochus took the side of the Hellenizers by prohibiting the religious practices the traditionalists had rallied around. This may explain why the king, in a total departure from Seleucid practice in all other places and times, banned the traditional religion. We have reached the section titled Hanukkah Rituals, and we're close to having completed our hour. So we will stop here, as it is a good place for that purpose. I will just continue to speak a little bit to explain this idea of the Hellenistic Jews. Were Jews that accepted Greek culture. It wasn't that they were running away from the traditions of their fathers. They just accepted Greek culture and tried to balance both aspects in their lives. This conflict has been going on ever since, between Jews who want to follow the traditional orthodoxy as they define it, and Jews who want to say, no, we have to live in the exile, we have to live in the countries where we live, We have to live with the cultures that we live with. And so we need to find a way to balance our traditional actions and the actions of the culture around us. Today, those go as orthodoxy and reform, with conservative being somewhere in the middle. There's also modern orthodoxy that comes out of traditional orthodoxy that gives you a little bit more balance to the current culture. These conflicts have been continuing for 33,000 plus years. And we need to understand that history, that conflict, in order to know what is the proper thing for us to do in this generation. Are there any questions? Upcoming classes. Yes, Bernice.
Given what's going on, how does one make that decision? How does one decide between the various elements here that you had just discussed? How does one make that adjustment for themselves?
Your answer is in the words, for themselves. Each person needs to do their own homework, become knowledgeable in areas of history, to understand the differences between the various sects today, to investigate all of the different aspects, and determine right what is the right thing for their soul. And utilizing the tool of binding by striking in class 6, which explains, if you don't know what to do, how can you decide what to do?
Mm.
You have the tools, just use them.
Mm.
Are there any other questions? Classes today at 2:00 West Coast time, there will be a basic class expanding on the Anabakoach and the knowledge of the Anabakoach and beginning the study of the 72 names. In Monday at 4:30, there will be a mini Zohar class, and at 7:00, we will be reading an essay by Rabbi Ashlag. 4:30 Tuesday, a mini Zohar class. And at 7:00, we will continue our classes in the Tikkuni Zohar. Wednesday at 4:30, a mini Zohar class. And at 7:00, questions and answers. Thursday at 4:30, our classes on advanced reincarnation will continue, and at 7:00, we will complete our Zohar study for this week. Saturday night at 6:00 is Havdalah, and at 7:00 is a Zohar class on the new energy of the new parashah. Next Sunday at 10:30, we will again continue our study of Hanukkah. All times mentioned are Pacific time. I wish all of you a good week, Shavuot Tov, and Shalom.
What is the time for today? So the afternoon?
2:00 West Coast time.
2:00, okay.
Shalom to all.
Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you. Shalom.
Thank you.
Shalom. You're welcome.